Valley 104.9 goes behind the scenes with former King County Councilperson Kathy Lambert every Tuesday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 6 p.m. as part of Valley 104.9's Community Talk and Info Sundays.
Thank you for joining me tonight with Behind the Scenes with Kathy Lambert. And so we have lots to talk about as we've just gone through the shutdown of our country for the longest time in the history of the United States, which is nothing wonderful to talk about. So we need to talk about some of the things that were said that were inaccurate and talk about what we need to know about our money. So let's just jump right in. First of all, right now, the presidency, the House and the Senate have a majority of Republicans. And so people know that there is pretty much one party rule at this time. What they don't know is that the minority party has lots and lots of different things that they can do to slow things down or to deal with things in a way that normally you don't do, like closing down the government. So it's really important to know how that happened. So the way that it happened was that when, and we just did a show that I hope you've heard already on continuing resolutions. Continuing resolutions, called a CR, that the minority party agrees with majority party that they will continue to work on whatever the problem is until they come to a solution, and that nothing will change. The status quo will stay the same until that is worked out. And that's just kind of a professional courtesy that one party gives to the other. And it's gone on for many different presidencies, and it's never really been a problem to this degree. So that became a problem. And there were many opportunities for people then to say, no, we don't want the government to be closed down. And there were some political games to say that, you know, we really care about this topic or really care about that topic, and so we're not going to continue on without that. And made it sound like this was a forever plan, which it's not. A continuing resolution only goes for a certain amount of time, and this one goes to the end of January. So it is not a forever thing. And to put so many specifications on something that's temporary, there was more damage done, I would say, in the being closed down for that many days than would ever be gained by what was happening. So the media, 80% of the media said that this was a Republican shutdown. And that is not accurate information. And yet, if you don't know that, you would say, well, they made a counter proposal. Well, the counter proposal was kind of like saying, well, if you give me 6 Ferraris and a trip to the moon, I will do X. Well, that's not a realistic proposal. And neither was the proposal that was given as a counter proposal. Everybody knew that that was not accurate as a good counter proposal, nor should on a clean resolution, continuing resolution, there be that kind of expensive counter proposal. You could, in a continuing resolution, for an important reason that both parties decided, you know, wasn't expensive, or they'd found some other money that they could move into that, and they agreed, you could do that. But that's not usually how it's done. And so there was a lot of political chicanery that has happened. And so the point here is that 80% of the media gave the wrong answer as to who was responsible for that. And so there were many reasons politically why that was handled by Schumer. And as you'll see in many, many things, it's called the Schumer shutdown. And so, you know, history will have to go and decide how they want to play this out. But you do need to know the facts. The facts are a continuing resolution is normally not Christmas treed with extra things. And if it were extra, it's not usually something very expensive because that breaks the budget. So the idea that it went on for that long and that it was known politically that they wanted to wait to see how the next election in November went before they opened it back up. And This was really very sad because it then got into the safety of people in the air. It got into changing people's plans and causing all kinds of issues economically. It added a lot of loss in many ways. And so there was a very large cost to doing this. And again, it's only for a couple of weeks that this was supposed to be taken care of. And now we'll hopefully not go through the exact same thing in January. So we need to know about different kinds of money. And when you looked at, for instance, the account USAID, there was a lot of money in that was going into USAID. And when they started pulling up what the money was going for, they found that it was, like a puppet show for hundreds of thousands of dollars in a foreign country and all kinds of expenditures around the world that the average person would say, why is my tax dollars going to that when I'd rather have a road or I would rather have an improvement in a bridge or whatever? And if you don't think we need improvements in bridges, you better be thinking about that one again. Another topic, another day. But there's plenty of things in our infrastructure right here in the United States that need to be taken care of. We do not need to be paying for a lot of things in foreign countries that are essentially, in my opinion, frivolous. And if you want to look at the list, you can see in various media. I know Mark Levin had a huge list of all the expenditures that he felt were frivolous or unnecessary or just not appropriate. So, you aren't going to agree with 100% of the list, but it gives you an idea of what kinds of things were being paid at a USAID. Now, in a huge budget like that, were there things that were good? Of course, you always find some good in almost everything. So, yes, then there were people that came forward and said, oh, but USAID did this good thing or that good thing. Well, okay, that's fine. But meantime, does that mean that we continue to waste a lot of money that doesn't need to be wasted? And one of the things that happened is early on that Elon Musk said, I don't think we're paying people that are actually still working for the federal government. And so what I'd like everybody to do is just send an email saying, yes, I am still working. And so it caused a big blowout that people were offended that they had to send in an email. What did the email say? That was quite interesting. I think you might remember that not too long ago. But basically what they're trying to say is, who actually still works for us? And are we paying people that don't work for us anymore, but they're still getting paychecks? And I think that was an important thing to be able to say. Now, just recently now, after this issue with SNAP, which is aid for people that need food, some of those people have been on SNAP for years and years and years. And so what they're saying is that at this point, so that we know who's on and are they qualified and are they citizens, that people are going to have to re-register. And people are not happy about that. But the only way you can clean up a bad database is to sort of start over again and evaluate what's in this database and be able to say, okay, so let's form a policy. The policy isn't really secure yet. So, okay, how many people are on SNAP and how long can they be on for? Can they be on for a year, 2 years, 5 years? How often do they have to show that they need these funds? So, and are they are people that really exist or are people getting different benefits that they don't really qualify for? So all those are public policy things. And so it's important that you know that the right people that are qualified are getting the money. And I will tell you that, just this last week, there's been stuff coming out on a fairly new statewide grant for housing. And We found out that the money has not been spent properly, that there's been a lot of nepotism, that the money's been funneled to this friend and to this neighbor and to this child, and that some people got a lot of money. And one person who is a multiple felon got a great deal of money for purchasing a home, where other people who haven't been drug addicts and haven't been felons, as this man has been, didn't get hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so all of these things come out, and then people are shocked. Well, it's because there isn't a good amount of oversight. And that is something that people have unfortunately let go on for too long. And now the new administration is saying, we got a mess. And the fact of the matter is, they do have a mess. And so are we going to just say, well, we don't want to upset anybody. They may have to re-register. Oh, that would be so hard. But you have to re-register for your driver's license. You have to re-register for all kinds of things. But at this point, now that's what people are saying to get everybody all in a tizzy. Well, if the database wasn't such a mess, they wouldn't have to clean it up. But it's a mess. And so this is an opportunity to modernize it, to know what's going on, and then to make good public policy on it. So, how many people, what income levels do they need to change the criteria? Do they need to provide more services in certain areas? Do they need to provide, different kinds of foods if people are from certain ethnicities? I was working at a food bank at one point, and they said, oh, make sure you don't give that lady this food because in her country, that's pig food, and she'll be offended if you give it to her. So, these are things you need to know who is going to be getting this so that we are appropriately purchasing what needs to be done and providing the needs that are appropriate. Or people, don't have access to either refrigeration for a period or whatever. And so they need different kinds of food. But all of that you find out as you're registering these people. So good can come out of cleaning up the database. So that's going to be in the news the next couple of weeks. And I'm sure there'll be people screaming about how such and such isn't going to get their food and people are starving. No, that is not accurate. So they're trying to get it as easy as possible to register. Will they do 100% perfect? No. And if they don't, then they will have to fix, any situation, or people will go to the churches. I know my church gives away a lot of food, and I think it's a good idea for the community to come together and help on some of these things. So it's not a bad thing that they're going to be re-registering. As more and more audits come out, and this one from the Urban League came out recently, and there will be more investigations that they're doing. The whistleblowers have given even more information, and I have been called on two other audits that are going to break with different situations that have been going on. So we don't need to be shocked that this is happening. It is happening, and the media has covered it up and denied it. And we can no longer deny it. It's happened, it's proven. The conversation about denying it needs to stop. And what we need to say is it exists. Now let's clean it up. And if we have to go back to start over with the database and qualify people, then that's what we need to do. And we need to support that it needs to get done right, not put a band-aid on it and just say, oh, well, it's close enough. We're spending an extra $1 billion, but it's only $1 billion. No, those are your tax dollars and they should be spent appropriately, and they have not been. And I think that especially in a couple of them that have already come forward and a couple of them that will be coming forward, we need to be taking a very careful look at who is making these decisions and what is going on. And frankly, where there has been fraud, that needs to be dealt with. So, USAID at the federal level, they said there's so much fraud and corruption here that we're just going to cut it off and then try to figure out, well, then the courts got mad and said, well, you can't just cut it off. And, they said, well, it's already been budgeted, so you can't claw it back. Well, that's not accurate. There, you do make a budget that's for 2 years. And if something big comes up, then you do have to rearrange to pay for it. And you know, at the federal level, they could print more money, but that's not a good option for inflationary purposes. So then it gave time to be able to say, okay, here's all the expenditures transparently, and let's sit down and go through these. Do you really want to be paying for a dance class in Timbuktu? And do you really want to be paying for this service over here? Because it's not even something that we should be dealing with. So once we get together on that, then we can say, okay, there will be lobby groups that will come for everything. And you know, you as a person that has to make the decisions on how you spend other people's money is, and what I would do is think, would I spend my own money on this? And if I wouldn't spend my own money on whatever the issue was, then I don't want to spend anybody else's money on it. And usually there's an interest group that will come and say, oh, I'm going to die if I don't have this, or you know, you don't care about me, or whatever. And so people give in because they don't want to be called names or whatever. But we've got to get past that. We got to say, look, we are a civilized society, hopefully, and we have so much money, and this is how we're going to disperse it. Everybody should be able to look online easily and figure out what's going on. When we were looking at the federal budget, we found that there were a lot of programs. There was, I think it was, well, I won't say which state, but it was a southern state, where one of the congressional people had gotten a $4 million grant to do a service, and they had done very, very little on that service, but they were still getting the money. And that, in my mind, was not in line with the, you know, with the criteria of what the contract was for. So she's a congressional person. She should know what the expectations were because she's making expectations for other people's grants. And so I believe that she should be responsible to turn that money back to you and me. So anyway, that's my personal opinion. So we need to be looking at who's getting money and are those criteria happening. Now, there was a study maybe 10 years ago in Seattle where they went to all their human services grants and they started looking at what was being accomplished because the homeless problem was getting worse, the drug addiction problem was getting worse. So what's happening here? Why is this criteria not being met? Well, they found out that almost all the contracts were not in compliance. So rather than saying, look, you've got to get into compliance or you have to pay the money back, they just let it go. And the agencies just got to keep the money that they had not really done what they were supposed to do, which I think is very scary and sad. So we are seeing that continuing to happen. And again, there will be more information coming out fairly soon on, you know, family members getting money and things not happening, and data that should be coming out is being suppressed. So people are making decisions with bad information. And, you know, it breaks my heart that this is happening because I believe that we are capable of having more people take their elected jobs a little bit more seriously. So, but we keep electing the same people with the same issues, and then we wonder why it's happening. So there are some accounts like Medicare, like healthcare, like Social Security. And that's at the federal level. And then I want to also talk about at the county level, I'm sorry, the state level, on long-term care and what just happened with that, which is very ironic. So these are called endowment accounts. And people assume that when you pay your Social Security out of your paycheck, that it's going into the Social Security account or that it's going into a specific account, but it's going usually into the general fund. And so when they need to pay out from that fund, they take it out of the general fund and kind of put like an IOU in the box for Social Security. And so they will tell you that the Social Security will run out, and I'm going to make up a year. At one point, it was 2035. I think it's beyond that now, but pick a year. So, when they say that with the money we have right now and the money coming in during these next years, we believe we could pay out Social Security through to this year or Medicare through to this year or whatever the account is. But they tell you on an actuarial basis how long they think that that will last. So people don't really listen to that. And that's really serious because when the administration says this is going to go bankrupt, people think, well, the federal government can't go bankrupt. They just print more money. Well, that deflates the amount of money and the value of your money. You really don't want them to be printing more and more money when it's that doesn't stabilize the economy. So you want them to make sure that these accounts are as stable as possible for as long as possible. So when they say we need to cut back the waste and the fraud, then that means that that account can go longer. And they found out that there were many names, and it was very sad because when it was going on, and Elon and his group, I mean, we're finding, this person is dead. This person, they did a statistical thing where they said, okay, print out everybody who would be over 100 years old. And then the list came out. And so they said probably most of these people are dead. And, there were a few people that were still alive. And so they were like, okay, wait a minute, I'm still alive. Okay, that's fine. But the people that were over 100 or 112, and I think there was one that was supposed to be 150 years old, they weren't alive, but they were getting checks. So, we had the same problem in the county, or at the state, actually. It went through the courts here, but we had a man whose mom had died, and he was saying that he was taking her to doctor's appointments. And finally, the death records and the social security records came together, and the state figured out, well, this is interesting. He's taking his dead mom to the doctor. That's odd. So, those kinds of things happen, and it needs to be stopped. So that's what they were trying to figure out. And people were saying, so they're trying to match up records, and people are like, oh, they're getting my social security number and freaking out about it. Well, federal government. Newsflash has your social security number. So to say that the federal government's looking at your social security number, which they already know, and they're putting it in the hands of a person who's not authorized to do so. Well, for 100 and some days, they were authorized to do this. They were subcontracted by the president's team under a special rule that allows there to be a subcontract for a project. So essentially, they were employees. And so if you hire Joe Schmo to come in and do this, Joe gets to look at those social security numbers, and nobody's freaking out about that. But when it was this team, people were freaking out that, oh, they're giving out my social security number. And my own personal thought was, as if Elon Musk needs your social security number. I don't think so. So again, you will hear people say things that we just have got to stop being emotional and actually think, because thinking is important and it helps to regulate your emotions. And so when people are screaming about, oh, they're looking at my social security number, when you are working with that many numbers, trust me, they kind of blur all out. I'm not going to remember that, such and such a social security number is blah, blah, blah. If you've seen 50 or 100 of them, you're not going to remember. And unless you are somebody very, 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 very important, like maybe the President of the United States, if you saw his social security number, you might be like, oh, that's interesting. But for most of us, nobody cares what your social security number is on this project. The people who were assigned to do this were about 20 some people that we had vetted, that they were known. The president knew who they were. People knew who they were. They had a job to do. They were serious people. And so they were not stealing social security numbers. There hasn't been a rash of, social security numbers. And we trace it back to the experts that were part of the DOGE project. So be aware when people get like hysterical. Is this a ploy of emotions to cover up that they don't want you to know the facts? Or is this really something? Now, one of the other things too is, say, for Social Security or pensions, they figure out, and I'm going to give the example that I know. That's the state one because I was on the state committee for this. The state decides, and it's called an actuary table, and there's actually a person's whose job, and they're called an actuary, and their job is to figure out. We have X number of employees, and the average man lives to be, say, 82, and the average woman lives to be, say, 84. So we figure out how they figure out, this is not a job I would want. They figure out, okay, how many employees are this age? So they'll live, say, 25 years. And then how many are going to live 24 years? And then, now we go to the women and, do the same thing. So that we figure out how many years of pensions are these people going to get? And then whatever they figure out needs to be put into the pension account for those people on a yearly basis gets put in to the fund so that the fund is actuarially sound. So when I was there, we made a policy that said whatever the actuary says is the amount that is needed, that's what we put in. Well, a couple of years ago, the state legislature decided that if the actuary says that it's 100% is the number X, we're going to take 80% of X and put that in and declare that's fully funded. That is not fully funded because if you change the definition from 100% to 80%, you are by definition underfunding by 20%. And when you look across the country, you see many municipalities that have had huge problems with the fact that they're underfunded. And in fact, there was a city in our state that could not hire any more police because their pension fund was so expensive that they could not have the money to hire another police officer in their small jurisdiction. So the idea that, and I don't know if our state has changed that formula back from 80% of what the actuary says to 100%, but I do know that that happened. And that is an example of how they play with monies. And so you have to be really aware of when is this fully funded and what does fully funded mean? And also, where is the amount of money that is being spent and when will it expire or go bankrupt or be done so that it will be a draw on the general fund? That is not okay because the general fund and most municipalities don't have a lot of extra money. So all of this is really important. And so when the administration, whatever the party is, says that Social Security or one of the pension funds, whatever, is only solvent, which means has enough money, until year X. And year X is getting closer every year. So they say we need to go back and start looking at this. And that is one of the things DOGE said. We need to make sure that the people, number one, are still alive. And number two, that this money is being spent in the right account. So all of that is happening. And I think people need to be aware that you need to be aware that when they say we have to fix this, it's not because they want to be mean. It's because they don't want to hit the cliff. And so many different administrations on both parties, whatever level of government, they've kicked the can down the road. Well, okay, this will be solvent until 2040, which is great when it's 2010. But then when it's 2025 and it's 2040 before it's no longer solvent, you can't keep kicking the can down the road because the road's getting shorter. So I am pleased that the administration is saying, hey, look, this account is only solvent for this long. This one's only solvent for this long. This one's only solvent for this long. And it's kind of like in a family when you decide that there's a problem and you can no longer let it keep being kicked down the road and you have to solve it. The rest of the family may say, well, I wanted to go on that vacation, or I wanted to get a new bike, or I wanted to get a new fishing pole. And whoever's the one that has to deal with the finances says, but we can't afford it anymore because otherwise, we will lose our house or we'll be insolvent or, whatever the consequence is. At some point, somebody's got to be big enough, strong enough, smart enough, big enough backbone to say, wait a minute, we have to fix this. No more kicking it down the road. And what's happening now is that people are saying, we don't want to deal with this. We want to put our head in the sand. Please, 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 please don't let me know that these are facts. I just want to say, I really want this money. And so please don't tell me it's going to go and solve it. Just print more money. That is not grown-up behavior. And we need to be smart enough that when we get elected officials and groups that are saying these things, that we say, look, somebody's got to clean it up. And I'm just thankful that somebody is willing to stand up and say, we got to clean this up. And that is important. And we're going to need it in our county also, because there's things in our county that need to be cleaned. And unless we get it cleaned up, we are also going to be in trouble right in our own area too, as in addition to the federal government. So be aware that most of these accounts have some kind of solvency and that we really don't want the federal government to be printing more and more and more money. We want them to live within the means, and we want the expenditures that we're already putting with our hard-earned tax dollars to be spent wisely. I don't want them being spent on dance classes in wherever, Outer Mongolia, wherever. I want the expenditures to be things that could pass a straight face test, that the average person sitting around the coffee table would say, do you think that we should spend money on this? Would say yes or no. And that 80% of the people would say yes or no and agree to that. Otherwise, it's probably something that we don't really need to be spending money on. And so then we can focus on what really needs to be spent. So we've talked about USAID and cleaning that up. And then also our what we call actuarial accounts, and that money does not go into a lockbox separate account. It is just thrown in to the general fund, and so we need to be very careful about not overspending on that, which means that we need to fund it fully in the year in which it's supposed to be. So this is complicated stuff, and I'm sorry if it sounds kind of nerdy, but for those of us that like nerdy things, it's kind of exciting. So that's what's happening there. And then in our state, it's an example because it's new. And so a couple of years ago, the legislative body decided that they would form a long-term care account. And so they bought a policy, they proposed a policy that they put into law. It was a horrifically terrible policy. So one of my friend's dads had to have long-term care around the clock because he had Alzheimer's, and there were lots of complications. And it was $24,000 a month. And so that gives you kind of a frame of reference because most of us have no idea what long-term care costs. And so this policy was $35,000 for your entire life. Well, in my friend's situation, that would have covered a month and a half, not even. So this was not a good policy. And what, in my opinion, we should have done was to tell our commissioner of insurance, our insurance commissioner, to go out and recruit other companies around the United States that wanted to provide long-term care and give them, options that they could present to us. And then we, as consumers, could choose to decide how we wanted to spend our long-term care dollars because everybody has different kinds of needs. So the state decided that they were going to form this policy, and they had all kinds of crazy things, like you had to pay into it for 10 years. Well, if you were 6 years away from retirement, you couldn't pay into it for 10 years. So you could put in the money for 6 years, but you got nothing out of it. That's crazy. If you moved out of state, you don't get the money. So there were a lot of really ornery, in my opinion, specifications to this. So this last couple months ago, they decided that this long-term care policy was not going to be solvent for very long, which was obvious from the very beginning. But now we're acting shocked. Oh my gosh, it's not really solvent. I just shake my head because that's crazy. But anyway, so we're now so surprised. So they decided, well, one of the things that we can do is to say, okay, let's take the money we do have it and take off the idea that you have to put it in a very stable savings account, that we want you to be able to invest however you want, and that that way we could potentially make more interest and compounding on that to be able to keep this fund solvent as long as possible. Now, I think the joke in here, which is not funny, but the joke is that this whole thing was pretty socialist in its proposal, that everybody gets the same thing, everybody has these same rules, even though these rules are ridiculous if you know that you've got a family member that's going to need more than 35,000 total for their life. But so there's kind of a socialist program, but when it goes bad, then you turn to capitalism to try to fix it. So I thought that was very ironic. So in the last election, just in November, we voted, many voted, the majority voted, that the state would have the option of taking the money out of a more stable account and putting it into the stock market. Well, right about the same time that this was happening, I'm driving down the road and CalPERS, which is the California pension plan, they had been given this ability and apparently they lost 70% of the money in the stock market. So, because they chose a field that had some problems. So, I'm thinking, oh, great. So, they lost 70% of the money doing this. And now our state is deciding whether to do this or not. So, the way that I think, as I said, properly to do this would be to recruit other companies to come in and do this business in our county and let people choose a smorgasbord of what kinds of programs they want. But nope, we're going to have one program, a terrible one, that isn't going to work for almost anybody. And we're going to tell you that it's not going to be solvent for very long. And so we're going to try to patch together, at least for a little while, by investing in the stock market, which right now it's doing great. But, who knows what's going to happen in the future. And so, anyway, I think it's very interesting for people to know the ramifications of what the majority of people just voted on recently on this long-term care in our state. So, all of these things are why you need to know somebody who's willing to tell you the truth, because what I've just told you, you probably have never heard on the media or read in the papers. And, it's really not something that most people know. I used to tell people that I knew things that I could bore everybody out at a cocktail party, but everybody was glad that somebody knew those things. So, anyway, that is what's happening with the finances. And I think it's really important as we go forward. These things are going to be very interesting. We are going to have a person that's going to be the new mayor of Seattle who has not had experience running a major corporation. And I think it's interesting that people think that you can just jump right in to a major executive role like this and figure it out all on your own. And part of the mess that is in the city and the county has, we got there with the existing people. And so, are they going to be able to pull this out with out somebody that can come in and be a fix agent? And I know that sometimes fixing things is something that doesn't look pretty. Doesn't look pretty that you have to re-register. It doesn't look pretty that you may have to fill out an extra form. It doesn't look pretty that you have to maybe send a text message or email, although that did get stopped, that says, yes, I do work here. I am alive. It doesn't look pretty, but when you clean your own house, I don't know how you clean, but when I clean, my house looks 20 times worse while I'm cleaning because I pull everything out and then clean it all up and then put it back. So if you come in when I've pulled everything out, it is going to look pretty, but you need to go through that step. And there'll be a lot of people that will be complaining in the near future that this doesn't look pretty and that doesn't look pretty. And the answer should be, well, of course it's not. It's getting cleaned up. And I want our government to be cleaned up. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, you should want our government to be cleaned up. You should want it to be transparent. I don't think that the average person would say, oh, no, I don't want to know anything about where my money's going. And I really don't care if the contracts are being met. I don't really care if people are doing insider trading and giving money to their wife's organization or their grandson's organization. I don't believe people really feel that. I know people are doing that, and some have just gotten caught, and some are going to be caught in the next couple of months. And there is a lot going on at all the levels of government with things happening. So you're going to be hearing more about these things. So you need to be helpful. You need to say to the media, stop telling me this garbage. This needs to be cleaned up. Of course, this doesn't look good and it's messy right now, but it has to go through the step of being messy to be able to get to where you want. It's kind of like losing weight. When you're down at the gym and you're working really, really hard to get that weight off and you're sweating and you're perspiring and your makeup's rolling off if you had makeup on, which I don't wear to the gym. But it doesn't look pretty. But down the road, when you're stronger and healthier, then you go, oh yeah, that was really worth it. But you know, when you're sweating out at the gym, you may not feel like it's worth it right then. So we're going through the gym period right now, and it's going to be wet, messy, and smelly. But thank God somebody's willing to stand up and say, this needs to be fixed. This is not solvent. This is corrupt over here. And to say that we don't believe anything's corrupt when you've just seen in your own backyard that these things have been happening with us, with the audit from the county, which is the tip of the iceberg, people are freaking out. And I'm sitting there thinking, if you only knew, that is only the tip. That is like the beginning of the Titanic. Wait till you see what else is coming. And then, you know, the things that are happening in Seattle, the things that are happening that are discovering with Doge, there's a lot of cleanup. So let's be people that can unite around cleaning up. And when somebody says, oh, you know, great Aunt Susie didn't get her, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, is there a reason for that? Is there a church or a neighbor that could help her with that? Are there, you know, responsibilities from other groups that could help? Is there another program that is solvent that she can be with? Let's look to be problem solvers using our brains and our thoughtfulness rather than just going to the emotion. Oh, it's not the same as it was yesterday. Oh my gosh, I can't deal with change. That is ridiculous, but you hear it constantly. It's not okay. And I think we just need to come together in saying, I am thankful somebody is willing to be courageous enough to tell us the truth that as things are in X, Y, or Z accounts or X, Y, or Z programs, that they are not okay and they need to be scrapped and start over again. And we will all be happier when the budget is more transparent and it is more thoughtful. So I hope that makes you really happy to know all that. But you know what? It's what we need to do together to bring this country back together again. Because while we have factions that are fighting for their own little niche and lobbying for this and that, so I get mine, like participatory budgeting in our King County, which I personally call legal money laundering. Well, we have these little things that are special projects every year where I get my money first, and then you don't get it because you're not in my little thing. And we have a nice name for it. We always wrap things in nice little names like participatory budgeting, which sounds so nice when it's BS. I'm sorry, did I really say that? Anyway, we need to be thoughtful and be able to ask questions and say, well, why did this happen and who did this? And be open. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, you should care that things are done fairly, that things are done honestly, and that people are held accountable when their contract is not fulfilled and money is being spent in ways that it shouldn't be. And as I said, there's stuff coming out already and there's stuff in the next couple of months. And you need to be aware. I told you it was coming. So I told the county council 5 years ago, this will blow up it someday, and now it has. So I'm telling you, we need you to be good consumers, to be willing to say, I'm ready to be bold and honest and take the steps to clean this up. And I want you, Republican, and you, Democrat, and you, Independent, to all agree that we are going to be transparent and fair in how we spend the money that belongs to each taxpayer. So that should have energized you. I hope that you will join us again as we talk about the security of our country. And I have quite a few things about that that I want to talk to you about. So, thank you for joining me tonight. I hope you know more about budgeting. And actually, there are people like me that love to do this stuff. So, be thankful when you can find people who are elected who enjoy doing it and that they will be our greatest assets going forward. And I look forward to working with those people. So, good night and have a good day.
Kathy will be back next week with another edition of Behind the Scenes right here on Valley 104.9 Northwest Eclectic.